Welcome back to another edition of Talk Nerdy to Me. I am your host, Troy Stegner. And before we get into this comic book review, I'm going to ask one favor. Subscribe to the channel, man. Helps us a lot. Please, please, please subscribe. Tell your mom, your dad, your friends, strangers on the street. Tell them all to subscribe. Pandering's over. Looky, looky. Comic bookie. This right here. I've been waiting. I reviewed the prelude to the Bounty Hunters, War of the Bounty Hunters, and I really, really liked it. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, so that probably helped. Centers on Mr. Fett, Boba, not his dad, Jango. It's kind of filling in the blanks from when Boba Fett picked up Han Solo and Carbonite there on Bespin. And he's on his way to deliver it to Jabba the Hutt. So that time frame right there is what this War of the Bounty Hunters is covering. At the end of the prelude to the War of Bounty Hunters, the Carbonite was kind of malfunctioning. So Boba stopped somewhere to get that taken care of so that he could deliver Han Solo not melted. And while he was doing that, somebody stole Han Solo and Carbonite from the dude he was having fix it. And you find out later, I mean, the ship should have been a giveaway. I didn't catch it. But, you know, they kind of hint around at who it is. It's a veiled character. And they're saying, you know, it's a group that they hadn't heard from in a while. And they say, oh, you know. And Boba's trying to get some information at a bar. He's talking to the dude. He's like, yeah, somebody stole my bounty. I got to go find it. And there's other two shady people sitting in a booth, a couple. They get a little alert saying, hey, there's a bounty on Boba Fett, dead or alive. Bring him in. And Boba Fett's right there. So as misguided as the dude is, he figures, I'll make a ton of money and I'll make a name for myself. And Boba sees the reflection in the glass. Needless to say, dude did not take Boba Fett out. So, you know, Boba shoots him. Then he walks out to go to his ship. The ship has got a little booby trap on it. You know, the ka-toom. I guess that's what explosions sound like on other planets. Anyway, Boba gets knocked down and Zuckuss has the drop on him. Mr. Zuckuss, who can kind of see the future. So Zuckuss is telling him, hey, don't move. I've got you dead to rights. Boba fires his rocket at him, knocks him off, off balance a little bit. And Boba's got the drop on him. He's like, yeah, you know, if you can see the future, you should have saw this coming. He's like, oh, I did. That's why I had backup. And Forlom is over behind Boba. So, you know, they are talking to Boba, and that's, you should never count Boba Fett out. He's always got something up his sleeve. And this, he fires the engines from Slave One, his ship, and it pretty much knocks Zuckuss out. He's hanging off the edge of the landing pad there. And Zuckuss keeps telling him, oh, I can read your future for you, and, you know, I see you swimming in a sea of red. And Boba just kicks him off the platform. So, yeah, I don't care. Forlom got pretty hurt in that explosion also. Boba just takes the head off because he's kind of a droid, so he plugs him into the ship there so he can read all the stuff going on. And that's when he finds out that somebody put a bounty on him. And Forlom, he pulls the information out and he finds out who did that bounty. Mr. Hutt. Jabba type. So he goes to confront Jabba. Jabba's not there, so Bib Fortuna comes out and talks to him. He's like, oh yeah, you were taking too long. And then Jabba got an invite from this other group who said they had Han, so we figured you sold Han and betrayed us to them. And Bob was like, no, that's not what happened. They stole him. I'm going to go get him back. And then you're going to pay me. So Boba walks out of there. He actually makes Ben Fortuna show him the message that the Hutch received saying that they got Han Solo. So he watches it all in its entirety. And basically they invited Jabba to come to their location and check out Han Solo. And they keep hinting at this old group that is no longer, they thought was no longer intact. Because they thought that the leader, you know, the leader is presumed dead of this group. And I mean, they even throw in a cameo of Doc Afra there. And of if you read the prelude, you see there Dengar and Bayard Valance. They're trying to get Han Solo and Boba Fett also. And you know, it comes up to the end, and this hooded figure that now has Han Solo frozen in carbonite comes up to talk to him, pulls the hood off, and oh my god, you know who that is? That's Leia Kira. If you watched Solo, a Star Wars movie, that is the character played by Emilia Clarke, who was kind of the love interest to Han when he was younger, and then, you know, they got separated. She got sold as a slave and eventually got picked up by Dryden Boss, who was part of Crimson Dawn. That's right, Crimson Dawn. If you watch the movie, you know, she killed Dryden Boss and then she used his communication ring to contact the leader of Crimson Dawn, and that was another big reveal in the movie, Darth Maul. So Darth Maul tells her, hey, come over, come on, meet me here, and I've got something else for you to do. So I'm not sure. This kind of falls in much later than that. So Lady Kira is obviously pretty high in Crimson Dawn. Darth Maul, if you've watched Clone Wars Rebels, you know that he wasn't dead after Obi-Wan cut him in half. He came back. But then he got killed again. So that's why everybody thought Crimson Dawn was done. Well, obviously, Leia Kira was working in the shadows to bring it back. And she, you know, she still has feelings for Han because, you know, she did Dryden Boss. She killed Dryden Boss to save Han and then lied to Darth Maul saying that Tobias Beckett did it. And, you know, she even hints to her, she's going to save Han. I'm not sure what her plan is, because we all know what happens in the movie. He actually ends up going to Jabba's palace, and he's like a piece of wall art for him. So I love this connection between Lady Kira and, you know, in the movies, now in the comic books. I totally love that they did that. I love this in-between stuff that they're showing, because, you know, the movies can only show you one timeline type thing. They can't really show you what's going on everywhere. And I'm just intrigued with this now. I want to know what is going on with Crimson Dawn, and which everybody wanted to know after the Solo movie anyway. Now we're going to get to see it in book form. So, I'm going to tell you, and the artwork's awesome for the covers. This next one got Jabba and Boba in it, and there's Slave One and Han Solo and Carbonite. And this cover is amazing also. I just love Boba Fett, one of the more popular characters in Star Wars. I'm going to tell you to continue subscribing to War of the Bounty Hunters. This is probably the best thing, in my opinion, from Marvel since they took over Star Wars, the best Star Wars story. The Seedy Underbelly. Subscribe, man. This is going to be, you're going to see all your favorite bounty hunters, it looks like. They even mentioned IG-88 in here, because Lady Kira bested him. Dude, subscribe. War of the Bounty Hunters is really good. I don't think you'll be upset, especially if you're a Star Wars fan. That is my review of War of the Bounty Hunters, numero uno. Subscribe. You're going to like it. If you like that review, and you'd like to see more like it, subscribe to the channel. It helps us with the metrics. And while you're at it, hit the bell icon. Spotify whenever we put up a new video. And until you see that new video, later, nerds.
Get nerdy with me.
Tell me what game that you get on. Is it COD or Eve? What kind of class do you play, girl? In an RPG.